Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 8. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 8. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for our church. Lord, though the weather is unpredictable, thank you that you're very predictable. Thank you that your presence is here. Now, Father, please, I pray that you'd be with our preacher, fill him with your power in a special way. Fill us with the Holy Spirit as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives, so we could go out, help, and reach more people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Christmas time can be both bitter and sweet. I know at first glance that statement seems like it could be incorrect, but I promise you, Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, the New Year time, for some, it is a delightful time. For others, it is a time of struggle. They say there are more suicides between Thanksgiving and New Year than any other time of the year. You say, why is that? Oh, because we do put so much emphasis on Christmas and the joy of Christmas and family and wonderful blessings. With all that emphasis, many people begin to recognize that certain things are not going so well for them. There are people that realize a little more so, or there are people who, for instance, they may go through Christmas, and maybe this is their first Christmas without maybe a mate being around. Maybe the mate has passed away. Maybe they have suffered a divorce. And so when Christmas time comes for somebody that last year celebrated Christmas with their husband present or with their wife present, and either through death or possibly through divorce or possibly just through some type of a family breakup. Now they're facing a time where they have memories. They're facing a time that was a unified time of the family, and now there's some separation there. Oh, it can be a tough time. It can be a tough time. Somebody goes through Christmas without dad for the first time, or without mom for the first time, without a husband or without a wife for the first time. First time without a child being present. Who knows? Who knows why? But it can be a tough time. When families don't get along, you know, some of you, you're serving God and you've chosen the course of life. You know how you're going to serve God. You know what you believe from the Bible. And you have family members that choose not to believe that. You have family members that are not as committed to Christ. They're not as committed to the Bible. They're not as committed to what you believe and what you feel about your marriage and what you feel about your children. Now you're going to get together and those differences are probably going to pop up. And you worry about that. There's some of you within your little family unit, husband, wife, and your kids. Oh, you're trying to make a heaven on earth. And now you're about to go and visit family members, maybe in the area or across the country. You know, when you get there, you're going to face those differences, and they don't understand you. And some of you, you just say, well, growing up, it was a mess. I mean, when I was growing up, some of you adults, you say, growing up at our house, it was a mess. All the drinking and the cussing and all the screaming and the yelling and the bitterness and the hatred. And we've got our own little family now and almost hate to go back into that. Oh, Christmas is a bitter, sweet time. It can be so much fun, but yet it can have the tendency to be a little difficult. And it can have that tendency to have that bitterness involved. Not everybody has the same delightful situation that some have. I was in our men's Saturday morning prayer meeting just the yesterday morning, and I told the men my heart had been moved this week. There are men and people that have been sent to prison, and I have people that will write me and looking for encouragement. And my secretary could tell you, I am pen pals with certain people that I've met through the years who are incarcerated in prison. Some done wrong, probably deserve to be in prison. But I got to thinking, as I received a letter recently from someone in prison who said, Brother Owens, really pray for me. Christmas time is a real hard time for me. And I got to thinking, I wonder how many people Christmas is a real hard time for them. The Bible here in Psalm 27 gives us a bit of a natural outline, and it has to do a bit with going through troubled times. Let me tell you a little bit of what you read. I'll bring you back up to date if I could. In Psalm chapter 27, when you get to verses about 5 through 8, here's what's happening. This is a psalm written by David. The history is here. David had been king. He had a son by the name of Absalom. Absalom had become disloyal, and David's son had turned on him. A battle breaks out. David's army wins the battle. But the problem is, in the process, his son Absalom ends up being killed. And David is facing a bittersweet situation. He is facing bittersweet. You say, why? Well, obviously, David was excited that they had won the battle and David would retain his throne and David would retain his leadership. The bitter part was that in that process, his son had been killed. And when you read the 27th Psalm, you'll see the bittersweet struggle that is going on with David. Verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 27 are written and it's very jubilant. It's very upbeat. It's very victorious. Why? They had won the battle. David's still the king. They're victorious. And then you see him shift gears in verses 7 through about 14. And he is mourning, and he is hurting, and he's a bit empty. And he calls it the troubled times. But wait a minute. Troubled times? He just won a great victory. But there's trouble in the midst of the victory. Boy, is that not the way life can be. I wonder how many people have gone to a wedding, and it is a wonderful, victorious time. But at the same time, there can be depression and defeat and fusses. There's just so many things in life that seem to have that bittersweet blend. Here we are, Christmas time, and on the surface, we all want to be joyful, we all want to be jubilant, but underneath there's the possibility of trouble and hardship. David begins to teach in Psalm chapter 27, he begins to teach us what God was doing for him and what was going on in David's heart during this bittersweet time. David begins to tell us during this time of trouble, this is what God was doing for me. This is how I handled myself, says David. Matter of fact, this thing of trouble comes to us sometimes at the oddest of times. For instance, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14, it says, Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Here's somebody that was getting ready to go to church, but trouble hit them right before they came to church. That probably happened to somebody here this morning. Your heart was broken just before you left to come to church. That's what the Bible says. Job said in Job 3:26, yet trouble came. In other words, he wasn't expecting it, but yet it came to him. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 9:32, my trouble was not little. Isaiah said in Isaiah 17, verse 14, he said, at eventide, trouble came. It was nighttime, and trouble hit me right before trying to turn out the lights. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 8:15, and behold, trouble came. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4, he said, we will need comfort due to our troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. Again, Paul said, I was troubled on every side. It seemed like I looked to my right, and I was troubled at that. And I looked in front of me, and I was troubled. And I looked to my left, and I was troubled. And I got ready to exit. I got ready to turn around and run. And when I turned around, oh, there was trouble and heartache again. You know, we can spare ourselves of a certain number of troubles in life by living according to the Bible. But may I say to you, nobody gets out of this life unscathed. That's just the way it is. We all face troubles in life. Sometimes trouble is God's way of molding us. Trouble can be used in our lives, and God can use it to make us into something better. But He never intended it to make us bitter. This last Friday, I spoke in Martinsburg, our Christian Academy, our grade school chapel. I many times a year speak to all the kids in our junior high and high school, and then I speak to our grade schoolers. And it was heavy on my heart. I spoke to our grade schools. I'm talking about kids sixth grade and under. I felt very, very, very strongly led of the Lord to speak on the subject of depression. What a sad topic to think that children have got to be taught how to deal with depression. It was so heavy on me. I didn't call it depression. I talked to them about the sadness that occurs in their heart. Little ones, did you know a 7-year-old can face the hardships of life and then must face some decisions about their emotions and how will they deal with the trouble of life? But to me, the thought that children have to be coached about dealing with depression, that's big. May I say to all the adults in this room, I thought childhood was supposed to be a happy time. A protected time. A time where moms and dads deal with the negatives and keep the children safe within the will of God.
Yes, sir.
It's sad to me that in this day and age, we deal with depressed children.
Yes, sir.
That's heavy on me and heavy on my heart. But if it needs to be done, then it needs to be done, and the church ought to be doing it. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. And you just remember something. If you're 40 and you have a trouble in your life, your trouble is big to you. But a 7-year-old's trouble is as big to them as a 40-year-old's trouble is big to them. I mean, you say, well, their problem's nothing like my problem. No, it's not. But your emotions are stronger than theirs, and your preparation is better than theirs. Their problems are as overwhelming to them as your problems are overwhelming to you. But trouble. Trouble, God calls it. David speaks of trouble here in a wonderful, wonderful outline in Psalm chapter 27. He uses the term in Psalm 27:5. He says, for in the time of trouble... Let me say to you, first of all, let me talk to you about those very words. For in the time of trouble, we all go through troubled times. It's virtually a cycle of life. Things go well for a while, and then we struggle a little while. And then when they go well for a while, and we struggle for a little while. Life has seasons, and we're all going to go through those seasons. Life has cycles. And we go through those cycles. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. The Bible tells us there's a time to die. The Bible tells us there's a time to weep. The Bible tells us there's a time that we will refrain from embracing. The Bible tells us there is a time to lose. The Bible tells us there is a time of war. And God is saying to us, everybody goes through troubled times. In Psalm chapter 27, as you hear King David, remember, he's facing kind of a bittersweet situation. He just won the war, but he went through terrible heartache as a part of the war. He's still king. He wins the war. He retains his crown, but they come and say, "Your disloyal son, he died in the midst of the battle." And David, for the sake of the people, said, "We won!" And he went to his room. He said, "But I lost. I won! But I lost." You ever feel that way in life? Well, you're not the only person. David went through it. David in Psalm 27, 7, the Bible says here, he said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry." Wait. He was to be jubilant. He had won. But he goes to God and said, "Oh God, I raise my hand in victory and I fall on my face and I wet my office. I wet my living room floor with my tears. I hate it for you, but I must tell you, Christmas time can be a wonderful time. It can be a joyous time. It can be a jubilant time, but it may be a time of a few tears." Hang in there, folks. You're not the only one. All the way back, David experienced victory and tears all at the very same moment. David actually says in Psalm 27:9, he says, as he is praying and he is reading and singing and writing this psalm, he says, "Hide not thy face from me." What's David saying? He said, "I don't want to be left alone." He actually uses the word, "Neither forsake me," here in Psalm 27. David is saying, "Look, we won victory. Hallelujah." And then he went alone and he cried and he said, "I'm afraid of being alone. I don't want to be alone at this time." Maybe he was fearful of being forsaken by others. You say, "Brother Owens, I love Christmas. I hate being alone. I love the Christmas season. I hate the fact that my husband's gone. I hate. And that's what God was saying. There's a mixture here. An old Christian, stop and realize your God can help you through the mixture of emotions. He said in Psalm 27:10, he said, "When my father and mother forsake me." He actually uses those words here. As he's going through this bitter, sweet moment, he says, "When my father and mother forsake me." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I kind of can't depend on my family right now to help me through this. I can't depend on my family." Listen, and let me say something to everyone, and maybe I could for a moment just represent the men, and men, if I don't represent you well, you forgive me. But there are some times I just wish that my daddy could take all my problems away. I know I'm a man, and I know I am 47 years old. I know it's my job to suck it up and take it. But there are just some times I wish I could be a kid again. I wish I could climb into my daddy's lap and daddy could say, "Son, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay." And David said, here's David, he's the king. He's the king. He's a powerful giant of a man. And he slew Goliath. And he warred. And he took the beating that Saul had brung his way earlier in life. But David said, "When I feel forsaken and my family's not even there for me, I need you, God." He uses the terms in verse number 11. He talks about mine enemies. He said, "There's somebody out to destroy me." Here's David. "We won the victory. Yeah, we're victorious." He got alone. He wept. He said, "I'm afraid of being alone." He said, I'm not even sure. I kind of can't trust my family. I've got enemies out to destroy me. He says in verse number 12, "False witnesses rise up against me." He said, somebody has lied about me. He uses in verse number 12 the word cruelty. He said, there are people that are being cruel to me. I'm brokenhearted, but wait. We won the victory, but I'm hurt. We won the victory, but I'm lonely. We won the victory. I smile. And in my smile, I feel the tears, and I taste the saltiness of my own tears come down my face as I smile. And then David said in Psalm 27:13, I'm glad he said this, he said, but I fainted not. I could have fainted. I had fainted. And what he said was, I was about physically ready to pass out. I was spiritually wore out. I was just wore out emotionally. And I wasn't sure I could take anymore. But let me assure all of you of something. You've heard me say it before. It bears repeating. And I don't mind saying some of the same things over and over again because they're still true. God will never bring anything on you that you can't handle. You have a fair God. You have a just God. Say, Brother Owens, you just keep on saying that. You betcha. And I'm going to keep on saying that. Because we're going to keep on facing hardship as a church family, and we just need to keep being reminded of the fact, whatever has come our way, we can take it, we can make it, and we're going to make it through it. I see here, though, I see David said, for in the time of trouble, don't we face the time of trouble. Now, for you, it may not be the time of trouble, but the person sitting right beside you, it's a time of trouble for them. It may be the time of trouble for them. And here's what David says. David says then in Psalm 27:5, he says, he's singing, he's praying to God. He said, God, hide me. Hide me. He says in Psalm 27:5, hide me in his pavilion. David's saying, I need a hiding place. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You may feel a bit alone, but I've got news for you. You're never alone. If you're a born-again Christian, you have Him with you forever. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Say, but my family doesn't understand me. God does. My friends don't understand me. But God does. You say, my own husband does not understand me. But God does. You say, my wife does not understand me. But God does. My parents don't understand us. But God does. My children don't understand me. But God does. You're never alone. You can hide in Jesus Christ. David here, he says, hide me. What was David saying? Take the pressure off. Get me out of the heat. God, give me a place to hide. Give me a shelter from the time of storm. The wind is blowing and the thunder and the lightning of confusion and the pressure of emotion. But I need shelter. I need shelter. Listen, folks, whatever you do, when trouble comes, don't hide from God. Hide with God. David didn't say, I'm out of here, God. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm running. Some people, when trouble comes, they even run from God. No, He's the shelter in the time of trouble. Oh, no. When the storm hits, Jesus Christ is your bunker. Dive in Christ. Hide in Christ. David said, boy, I've got a bittersweet experience going on here. And I'm excited, but I'm sad. I'm up, but I'm down. And he said, I need help. He said, God, right now, hide me. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey, hide with Jesus, not from Jesus. Hide with Him, not from Him. Maybe David, when he said hide here, he was saying, hide me from the hypocrites. Well, the people that say they love you, but in action, they don't. They say they're for you, but in attitude, you know it's not true. Hide me from the people who don't know the whole story about what's happened to me. We judge people without the facts. Hide me from them. Hide me from the people I love, but who are confused about me. Hide me from the evil one. And so you all know, Satan is the same Satan out to destroy all of us. God's people are not to be the enemy of each other. We have an enemy. We have our hands full with that enemy. It is Satan. We all need to realize the torments of life and everything that's happened is brought on by our enemy. We have a unified enemy. Watch out. He's the one that's causing you trouble. David said, hide me. Maybe hide me from my own stupid decisions. Hey, have you ever just needed someone that you could trust? someone where you could go, and they would listen to your hurt, and you just knew you could trust them. I think there are human beings that love people. I can't give you a 100% guarantee on any human being alive, but I can give you a 100% guarantee on Jesus. Look, you say, I feel like I'm like David. I need God to hide me and shelter me. Go to God and say, God, I'll hide with you, but not from you. That's what David did. Then David said this. He said, first of all, hide me. Secondly, he said, stabilize me. He said in Psalm 27:5, he said, he shall set me upon a rock. Here's what happened. Hey, God's not dead. When Absalom died and David was able to say, we won! And David went to his room and he said, I lost. We won! I lost! I'm hurting! David went in a time of trouble and he cried and was lonely. And he said, God, hide me. Don't let anybody see me like this. I'm a mess. I'm emotional. There's something wrong. And then he comes out in verse 5. He said, he shall set me upon a rock. He said, you know what, God? I need you to stabilize me because I'm not doing real well right now. You ever feel like you need somebody to give you one of that, knock it off, you know, one of them slaps? But don't do that to anybody. But David said, God, I'm a little confused. I'm up, but I'm down. I'm hot, but I'm cold. I'm happy, but I'm sad. David said, God, I need you to hide me. I need to know you're going to be my protector and my shelter in the time of this storm. But not only that, I need you to stabilize me. Set me upon a rock. My life has been knocked out of balance. God, please steady me. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, he shall strengthen thine heart. Oh, David knew what he needed. David said, this is a tough time for me. And some of you, as you go through this Christmas time, let's just go ahead and face it. Let's go ahead and face it. You say, indeed, Brother Owens, you have described the reality and the truth of life. Indeed, it's a sweet time, but yet it has its tendency to have the bitterness and the hardship with it. Okay, then you say, God, hide me. God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you to get the protection that I need. And God, stabilize me through the next 3 or 4 weeks of my life. Stabilize me emotionally. Stabilize me physically. Stabilize me spiritually. Set my feet upon a rock. Stabilize me, even financially. David said, God, my burden has thrown the timing off. My timing's thrown off. Hey, if you work on automobiles, David is virtually saying, my timing is off and my engine's backfiring. Somebody get me the timing gun. I got to get back on track here. I've got to be stabilized. Now, I'm helping you today, and if you will listen to what I'm saying, you don't have to go through the next 3 or 4 weeks just frantic. Stop and realize, okay, it could be a bittersweet time. Stop and say, God, I'm hiding in you. I'm going to go through this with you as my shelter. You stabilize my emotions. And God, I want you, hey, when others look at me, I want them to see a stable Christian. Hurting? Yes. Stable? Yes. As a family gives you a hard time, as they put the pressure on you. Hey, look, as you go into Christmas thinking, I don't even want to celebrate. My husband passed away this year. Christmas is not the same. It's okay for you to mourn. That's okay. You ought to feel a bit that way. But be stable while you're going through it. Let everybody look at you and say, the grace of God is bringing her through this. She is still happy but sad all at the same time. You just keep going. God, hide me. God, stabilize me. Give me some spiritual balance. Help me not to fall apart. Your families, as you visit them, hey, your situation, your neighbors, as people look at you, you may need to hide in God, but you don't need them to see you fall apart. You're a Christian. You're born again. You can make it. You can take it. Hide me, God. Stabilize me, God. Then let me show you what David says next. He says, I'm not sure exactly what verse it's in, but I think it's verse 5. He says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. He said, hide me. Then he said, stabilize me. Now he's saying, lift me. God, I'm going to need your help here. I can't do it myself. Hide me.
stabilize me, help me to think right, and then God, lift me. What do you mean? You lift my thinking above this depression. He said, lift mine head above mine enemies. Let me tell you something, folks. The devil wants to get you down. He wants to get your spirit down. He wants you to give up. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to say, I can't make it. I can't take it. What you do is you run to God and say, God, I need you to hide me right now. Nobody much understands me. I need you to stabilize me so I can take it. And God, I need you to lift me so that I can think right through this whole thing. Lift me, God. Lift my thinking. Lift my thinking above this depression. Lift my thinking above this sour attitude. God, I need you to lift me. Hey, if it is an enemy that has gotten you down, then you say, God, you lift me above the filthy practice of revenge. God, you lift my thinking above hurting somebody and hatred. You lift me, God. Lift my thinking. Hide me. Stabilize me. Lift me so I can make it through this. Lift me so that I can think right. Some of you need to ask God to lift your thinking. Good. Lift your thinking. Say, lift my thinking? Uh-huh. I wouldn't walk into some of the messes that the holidays can give you. I wouldn't walk into them blind. I'd walk in saying, you know what? When we celebrate Christmas afternoon, Uncle Roy's going to be there. Me and Uncle Roy, we don't see eye to eye on anything. But when I walk in, I'm not going in to start a fight, start a battle. I'm going to think right. I'm going to behave spiritually. I'm going to treat people right. I want God to lift my thinking above the petty ways that people behave. Christians can go through difficult things with good attitudes. David said, my heart's broken. I'm happy. My heart's broken. I'm up, but I'm down. Okay, God, hide me. I need your protection. Okay, God, stabilize me so I don't fall apart. Okay, God, now I need you to lift me up. I've got to get my chin up. Hey, Christian of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, get your chin up. Get your chin up. Not in arrogance, not in pride, but your God can help you. Somebody's going to watch you. Somebody knows what you're going through. Your children know what you're going through. They need to learn how to go through troubles and go through them with a good attitude. They need to learn. Hey, every parent here, your child deserves to believe that your testimony is, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Your children need to watch you go through trouble and you say, okay, God, I don't know anybody that can help me but you, but hide me. Okay, God, I need you now. Stabilize me. Okay, God, I now need you to lift me. I don't want to do it like everybody else and fall apart and go get drunk and get high and file for a divorce. I'm going to make that's what our children need to see us do. Lift me. Tell me not to do it like everybody else. Tell me do it your way, God. Lift me. Lift me. If it is an enemy that has brought this bitter sweet to you, say, God, lift me so that I don't behave like my enemy. He said, hide me. He said, stabilize me. He said, lift me. And then in Psalm 27:6, I think he talks about, God, I need encouragement. He says in Psalm 27:6, he said, will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy? David here, notice, he went through a difficult time. Remember, victory? Yes. We won! He went to his room. He wept. He said, I'm lonely. He said, I don't think anybody understands. Yes, I'm happy about some things, but yet my heart is still broken. And he says here, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy? Notice, he didn't stop going to church. David, he's in the tabernacle. Where's that? He went to church. He said, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm not dropping out of church during my troubles. I'm not running during my troubles. I'm not going to be a church dropout. I need him more, not less right now. You say, God, hide me. Can I tell you one place He'll hide you? At church. That's why church ought to be a haven. People ought not be coming to the church fussing and warring here. It ought to be people are coming here, and this is a haven. People with good attitudes. People with good spirits. We don't want everybody in the church to be bitter and revengeful and nasty. That people don't come to church for that. We said, God, hide me. And God said, come on down to the tabernacle, and we'll keep you safe. He talks about sacrifices of joy. Now listen. Here, David said, I need help. I need encouragement, God, and I know where I'm going to go get it. I'm going to church. Did you know our goal, you have to face something. We have to preach on sin around here. But we don't preach on sin to try to destroy you. We preach on sin to warn you so sin doesn't destroy you. You people say, well, I never preach on sin like that. If you really love people, you're going to tell them what hurts them. Now, but listen. As we come to church, God is trying to help us and protect us. He talks about sacrifices of joy. Sacrifice is giving. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, right now I'm struggling. I've got a bitter, sweet feeling about me. I'm excited about Thanksgiving. I'm excited about Christmas. I'm excited about the new year. But I could go to my room and just cry. I could just cry. I know what I'm facing. I know some loneliness. I know of some heartache. And you go to God and you say, okay, God, first thing I need is I need to know that you're going to hide me and you're going to protect me. And then, God, I know you can stabilize me so I can make it through this. And then, God, I'm going to have to get you to help me to lift my thinking above the depression and the negative. And then, God, I'm going to need encouragement, and I know where I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go down to the church house, and I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to go get my encouragement. David did not stop going to the tabernacle in his tough times. He would have, if he could have, he would have increased his attendance during the tough times. Keep giving of yourself. Don't quit the choir during the difficult days. Don't quit your bus route during the difficult days. Don't quit your Sunday school class or King's Kids. Don't quit. He said, things are really going rough. Well, you don't drop out of Martinsburg Christian Academy when things are going really rough. That's the time when you stay. David said, I know where I need to go. I've been hit. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm smiling in public. I'm crying in private. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to church. I've got to go there. I asked God to give me a haven. I asked God to give me the instruction that I needed to survive it. Hey, when it's going tough, don't stop giving of yourself in regard to prayer. Don't stop giving your tithe. The dumbest thing you'll ever do is stop giving to God when the going gets tough. Don't stop giving of yourself. Don't stop giving your time to God. He's talking about sacrifices of joy. He's saying, you keep going. You keep giving. Folks, when the devil hits you, you just keep your rhythm for the Lord. He says, it's going to be hard to go to church tonight. I got hit this afternoon. You come to church anyway. Keep your rhythm. Keep your rhythm. I'm just going to be where I'm supposed to be. One of the things about the holidays, it throws us off. We lose our rhythm. We've got a rhythm in life. You go to church. Holidays hit and everything's kind of getting boogered up, We had a rhythm in our finances. What happened? Well, we just started spending all this money on Christmas and everything. We had a rhythm in our church attendance, but we started missing some of our church here and there. Keep your rhythm. Keep your rhythm for God. You just keep going. You see, he said, I need encouraged, I need stabilized, I need your help. God, I am going to keep on giving the way I'm supposed to give. I guess in essence what I need to say to you is this. When you're hurt, don't spend all your time looking at your hurt. You want to feel sorry for yourself? You can. You're the best person in the world to feel sorry for yourself. You can do it better than anybody. Stare at your life long enough. If you stare at your problems long enough, you can magnify them. Feed them. Feed them with your negative thoughts. Go ahead and feed it. Feed it. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat worms. Feed it. Go ahead and feed it and make it worse and worse and worse. And you get more and more depressed. Where you stop looking at what you have and start looking at what you don't have. Well, they have this and they have that and they have this and they have that. Why don't you look at what you do have? See, we better keep our eyes off of ourselves and keep them on Christ, or keep our eyes off of ourselves and just look at others that need. And there's somebody else is having a tough time. Okay, but once I'm depressed, what can I do? Go do something for somebody else. Get your eyes off yourself. Say, Brother Owens, when I take a good long look at my life, I've just been shortchanged. Then stop taking a good long look at your life and look to Jesus Christ. And look to somebody else that's more poor than you, that's sicker than you, that has a worse problem than you. I only but wish there are so many stories that I could tell. Time will not allow. Finally, and I'm finished, I won't even take the time to develop this point. Finally, David says in Psalm chapter 27, the very same chapter, verse number 6, he said, while I'm down at the tabernacle, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He said, this is what God told him. David had gone through the bitter, sweet experience of life, and he comes along and he said, God, I need you to hide me. I'm going to need you to stabilize me. I'm going to need you to lift me. God, I'm going to need you to encourage me. And then, God, I think that's going to... I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to sing. He said, I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Folks, one of the best things you can do when you're going through the tough time is sing. There'll be somebody here that'll listen to what I'm saying this morning. When you're leaving that family get-together and it didn't turn out very well, get your kids and your family in the car and sing, joy to the world. Sing it. Sing. Hark the herald angels sing. Sing. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. You'd be shocked at what a little singing will do for a down spirit. If you know anything about the Psalms, that is God's songbook. David was singing this.
Right.
David said, okay, we won the battle. All right, we win. And David went to his room and he fell down and he began to weep. And he said, oh my, it kills me what I'm going through right now. I'm happy about the victories in my life. I'm sad about my burdens. He cried out to God and he said, oh God, you have got to hide me at this time. I don't think anybody understands me. God, you hide me. And God, you're going to have to stabilize me. I'm not what I need to be right now. And God, you got to lift my thinking. You've got to keep me to thinking above the depression and above the negative. And then God, I need encouragement and I'm going to you. I'm going to church to get it. And then God, I'm going to sing. I'm going to go ahead and sing. No matter what comes, I'm going to sing. You know something? If you'll do that, you're going to make it through the holidays fine. You can go through the bitter, sweet experience between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and we won't be doing any funerals for someone committing suicide. The world will be. Not us. We're just going to keep on doing what God said to do. In the time, every eye closed.